So many of you know by now that this past weekend, our son Jay got married to the love of his life, Emily. And as I prepared the ceremony that I performed for them and watched them make their commitments to one another, as I guided them through that process, I had this epiphany I had never, ever considered. So I decided to write today's talk about it. I realized that we have commitment processes for everything in life. We have commitments for getting married. We have commitments when we buy a car. We have a formalized commitment when we sign up for school. There are formalized commitments when we buy a home. Everything we do requires signature in this formalized, notarized process, except our spiritual growth and development. Isn't that interesting? There is no formalized commitment process for us to do the one thing we're required to do in this lifetime, which is to find our divine self and connect with that part of us, to experience our human life and to make that divine connection. The most important role we have in life is to fulfill our purpose on this earth. Where's the process for that? Where's the place we sign to say how this is supposed to work out and what we need to do, how many months in a row we have to do it? There's no process. And most religions and even churches assume that attendance alone is going to lead to that. You might sign up as a member or you might make a pledge to the church, but your own spiritual development is not what you're signing up for. You're signing up to support the entity that you're attending. So what are we doing? Leaving our spiritual growth to chance? Without a strategy for developing ourselves, chances are slim to none that we would end up successfully evolved, unless we're willing to work on us. And so that really, it got me thinking. I mean, we get together every 2 weeks, but hopefully we don't all think that our every 2 week time together is enough to develop ourselves. We know that it's not. We know that there has to be more. So what I want us to think about today is that spiritual growth and development has to be intentional. It has to be as important to us as signing up for the car. It has to be as important to us as signing up for school or anything else we're willing to do. It requires our commitment, and it requires us being willing to grow and make a conscious decision to grow and take whatever steps that might mean for us. If we don't commit, we're assuming we will evolve as it all works out. Now, there's two theories in that thought. One, well, God's going to carry my life the way it's meant to be. But nowhere in that equation are you saying what your part is. So your part, my part, our part, has to be to work on ourselves all the time, in the same way we do anything else. But the big question then becomes, who are we? Why are we here? And where are we going? So each of us is a spiritual being with a human purpose, and our job is to first identify and align with that divine purpose, that inner wisdom. Somewhere in that equation, we're connected, right? So we have to find how to align and identify with that part. But we also have to then, once you've identified with your inner spirit, you have to be able to use that to guide your life. And how do you know the difference between what's coming out of your head and what's coming out of your inner guide? And then using both of those things, we achieve our potential and bring our human gifts to the world. Now, of course, that all requires us believing that there's a divine purpose in our life, not just a human purpose. What's the difference? Our divine self leads us to our human experiences so that we can learn to be the best in ourselves. If you look back on your life now, wouldn't you say that your life is better now than it was before? Have you evolved as a person? Are you wiser? Do you understand what happens? Are you less reactive than you maybe used to be? It's all about whether or not you're using that wisdom you keep getting along the way to guide yourself. But let's look at what inner wisdom actually means. So first, it becomes most important for us to understand the value of opening our heart. It's our heart center where we get that experience of inner wisdom. Literally and figuratively. Think of it like that. When your heart's closed off, you are not in your divine self. You can tell. Think of a time when your heart was closed off. You're angry, upset. That's not your heart. Think of your heart as that open space where all that love and caring and selflessness and humility lives. All of that lives within our hearts. So we have to begin by understanding the importance of connecting to our divine self by opening our hearts to life. Everyone in the world should be part of that openness for us. We shouldn't just say, oh, I open my heart to those I resonate with. I open my heart to the people I get along with. No, you open your heart because you open your heart as a divine being. That's what we should be thinking about. But if our hearts are open and if we're actually connecting to our inner wisdom, what happens is that every experience we have then, we understand the lesson in that experience. Why am I going through this? Why did I have to deal with this? What is this going to teach me? How will this make me more compassionate to other people? How will I help somebody else along the way? Every experience you've had has helped somebody else, or it could, if you allowed it to. Every obstacle we overcome reveals more of what we need to know in order to better understand our truth. I can't say there's an experience in life, painful or not, that did not teach me something. But I had to be open to what it was. I couldn't just be angry about the experience. What would that teach us? It's these life situations that bring us wisdom, that help us grow, and that will help us be able to reflect back later in life on what we just went through. So we can find a way to help people. And so we can understand what might have been. And I want to share a story with you that I think is a perfect example of understanding how what looks like something on the surface can turn out to be the exact lesson that was meant to be through a divine self. So there's this tour guide in Sedona, Arizona. His name is Kurt. And he wrote this story. He writes a lot. He shares a lot of his stories from a spiritual perspective, what he experiences with people on the tours. And one of the stories he shared was how this woman had asked to be left alone standing over the mountain in Sedona. And he said he left her alone. He didn't know why, but he left her alone as she requested. And he said that, you know, she later wrote him, and he didn't get the letter until one day he was in his Jeep and driving along and this was weeks and weeks later, and he said, and this black and yellow butterfly landed on his foot in the car. And he said he thought that was so weird. It started on his shoulder, went to his foot, stayed on his foot, and stayed in the car with him. He gets back to the building, and he gets this letter from her. And she says, I'm sorry, the reason I asked for space that day is that I was asking Divine Spirit for forgiveness because I just placed my mom in a home, and I felt really guilty about having done that. And she said, but a butterfly, a black and yellow butterfly landed on me that day, and I knew forgiveness was mine. And he said, what were the chances that I would have read that letter after having a butterfly on my foot? He said, what were the chances? But he also wrote this story, and this one really got me. He said, one of my favorite stories to tell on the spiritual connection of life was told to me while out on a tour a few years ago. He said, I took Arnie and his wife Elsie out. They were from Long Island, New York. He said, Arnie and some childhood friends of his all went to grade school and high school together. As we all do inevitably, they all went their separate ways and yet kept in touch. One of Arnie's friends, Joe Dixon, became a pretty bad alcoholic and eventually succumbed to his illness, leaving a family behind. Arnie and Elsie went to the funeral, and just before they entered the church, a bird pooped on Arnie's arm. He suggested to his wife to go find a place to sit inside while he went and cleaned himself up. But when he went in, he couldn't find his wife, so he ended up sitting behind Joe's two sons. While the service was underway, Arnie began to cry, not for himself, but for the two boys who would only know their dad by his alcoholism. He felt like he needed to talk to them after, so after the service, he pulled them aside, and he told them of the time when he had gotten in an accident as a child, and how Joe came to visit him every single day that summer. He told them how their dad always wanted to be great, and that their dad was great because he had had two great, wonderful children, and he knew that those children would go on to do great things. A few weeks later, Joe's oldest son was away at camp. He jumped into the water, and as he approached the bottom, there was a girl struggling to swim. He pulled her to the surface, found some help, and they were able to rescue the girl who was starting to drown. She had survived, and Joe's son had indeed done something great. But not long after, the mother of the rescued daughter called the boy's mother to thank her and to thank her son. As they got talking about their children, the mother of the rescued daughter told how she was a nurse. And she was recounting the tremendous love that a recently deceased patient of hers had for his sons. She had spent much time with this man listening to stories about his sons in his final days and how he felt badly he would not be there for them as they grew up. Her patient turned out to be Joe Dixon. Now that's a pretty interesting circle of life. That she cared for Joe, that Joe's son ends up saving her daughter, and what are the chances of any of that? But if you weren't paying attention, and you didn't take time to think about how connected we all are, and that divine spiritual side of us that we can grow, those boys may have just thought of their dad as an alcoholic and never seen him as having a greater purpose. Every obstacle we face reveals more about the truth we need to know in order to grow. And it's through these situations that I think we're pushed outside our comfort zone and forced to see things differently. But if we're going to achieve our full potential and contribute the gifts we're here to share, then we have to be able to follow our inner urgings and not analyze and question them. The calling of our heart is what inspires us to actually do something special with our lives. But that means getting out of our head space and getting into our heart space. Could you imagine trying to understand your own life's purpose without ever reaching in and having divine guidance? You'd just be driving around all day looking for signs to tell you how to live your life. We have to be able to take our inner selves, work on our inner selves, make a commitment to our inner selves, and make a commitment to our spiritual growth. But it all starts with self-love. Did you know that you cannot grow your spiritual self without self-love? You can't. Because how can you connect to the divinity within you if you don't even believe in you? So any feelings we have of being flawed, being imperfect, not doing the right thing, not knowing how to do the right thing, we need to let it all go. And we need to see ourselves the way God sees us if we're ever going to really grow ourselves spiritually. Look, we all know life can wear us down. It can be difficult. It can be brutal at times. But we have to find ways to make ourselves a priority and never forget that there is a higher point to our lives. There is a higher point to our lives beyond our checkbooks, beyond our jobs, beyond our daily, day-to-day activities. There is a higher purpose for us. So we can either choose to exist at a lower plane or we can choose to exist at a higher plane. It's up to us, but we have to be willing to do the work. Now, many religions teach us that we should be preparing ourselves for the afterlife. A lot of religions believe what you do on earth is to prepare you for an afterlife. But here's the theory I want us to think about. What's the point in preparing ourselves for the afterlife if we didn't even live while here? We better get it right here and spend our time preparing ourselves for here so that we are evolved enough. If there is an afterlife and we believe in an afterlife, then we would be prepared, wouldn't we, if we actually spent our life living it from a divine self? So here's what I want you to think about. We need to make a commitment to our own self that every single day we're going to keep spiritual growth on our to-do list. Every day. Same way you go to get your groceries, I want you to think about keeping your spiritual self on your list. I don't care if that's through meditation, through prayer, through reflection, but keep yourself on that list. Second thing is we need to align our daily activities with our inner wisdom. And that simply means pay attention. Pay attention to the signs that are happening all day long. Pay attention to the reflections that you're experiencing. Notice what is happening. Three, we have to work consistently, all the time, towards achieving our higher self. And that means dreaming beyond our wildest imagination for what life could be. No matter what age we are, no matter what our circumstances are, we should never stop dreaming. And last but not least, we have to learn to love ourselves unconditionally. Because without that self-love, you cannot see the version that God sees of you. I want to end with a quote Kathy found for us that's perfect for today. It's written by Layla Gifty Akita. It says, you start to live when you commit yourself to a cause higher than yourself. You must learn to depend on divine power for the fulfillment of a higher calling. So I'm challenging all of us to our own spiritual growth and to not stop working on ourselves.